Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew chapter 20. I have a subject that is right at the heart of everything. This morning we're going to talk about distractions. Distractions. Not that any of us have any of those, but maybe one or two. Looking at the 29th verse, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus stopped and called them, what do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. Amen. Well, let's see. I don't think the others even hooked up, Steve. That won't do. I had to get too close to it. I'm going to move back here. This thing unplugged. Let's see if we can do this. Uh-oh. Still echoing. Distractions. Need I say more? The reality of our life is that there are continual distractions. This COVID-19 actually means that there are more distractions in our lives, continual distractions, things that block us visually and things that block us socially. The Lord Jesus in this passage shows us how to overcome distractions. I wrote down here that distractions are anything that takes your mind off of the main thing. Oh my. Maybe you moms can associate with this. You're trying to do something, and you hear this little voice saying, Mommy, 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 just a minute, honey, just a minute. Mommy's busy. Mommy, Mommy. Mommy, can I get a witness? Is there anybody? Or maybe daddy? Huh? Those of you that have been working from home, you're trying to work, you're on the telephone, just a minute. Daddy's on the phone, just a minute. Mommy? 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 Distractions. Anything that takes your mind off of the main thing. See, one of the concerns that I have as a pastor are the distractions that take people off of their spiritual journey. And to tell you the truth, I've not figured out how to combat this because so many of the distractions are good things. If they were all evil things, it would be easy to speak against them and to reject that negative, that evil thing out of a person's life. But it's not like that. It's often good things. You know, just what I mentioned to you earlier about watching the live feed versus watching a recorded version of our service. You know, you say, well, I don't understand. I don't get it. Well, one is being involved with the body of Christ, and one is simply watching what is going on. And see, I realize, especially those of you that are watching from home, how many distractions that there are to your worship experience when you're sitting at home. The refrigerator will call to you like never before. Your need to go to the bathroom will be different than it is here in the sanctuary. The children, if you have children or grandchildren in the household, will be acting differently than they will if you're in the house of faith. And you may think, oh, what's the difference? There's a huge difference in praying together, worshiping together, doing spiritual life together. And so the enemy loves to bring distractions. Anything to take your mind off. You know, as I stand up here, you know, I think back at the last 2 weeks that we've done this and look out. You know, you look out and you see entire families in conversation. I know that happens sometimes in here too, but it's the distractions. Amazing distractions. Jesus had to deal with distractions as well. In our passage here, he is leaving Jericho and on his way to Jerusalem to do the business that he was called to do. I want to point out a couple of distractions to you that were part of this. The first one was Jericho. Jericho was an incredible city. It actually was a model city. Alexander the Great, or excuse me, Herod the Great, there we go. Herod the Great had, I can't be out here. Herod the Great had built beautiful amphitheaters, huge buildings. Actually, Jericho was more beautiful than Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, Antony had gifted the city of Jericho to Cleopatra as a present, as a gift to her because of its beauty. It was the winter retreat for the court. People would go there because it was down in the Jordan Valley. People would go there during the wintertime because the temperature was warmer, and it was just a place of such unbelievable beauty that they enjoyed the scenery, and they enjoyed being among all of those wealthy people and blessed people. So now picture that. Jesus has just come from there, and he is moving out toward Jerusalem. And we all know what happened at Jerusalem, the triumphant entry and all of that. And we've talked about that in weeks gone by. And of course, the cross. So his face is pointed toward Jerusalem. He has a crowd about him. Jericho, even though they were leaving it, Jericho would have still been a distraction. It would have been a distraction because of its beauty, because of the resources that were present, but also of the people who chose to be there. I wonder how many of you have a vacation mode. When I say that, do you know what I'm referring to? A vacation mode? Where you kind of go into that relaxed vacation atmosphere. Those of you that are here, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Let me just see. Okay, you know, maybe you have a place that you like to go to. I like to go to a beach. I like to go to the ocean specifically, more than the beach, but I love the ocean. And so I will try to go to where there's an ocean. Others want to go where there's trees. I see plenty of trees, but people like to go where they're in the midst of trees, and it's relaxing to them, and they go into vacation mode. Have you ever noticed that when you're on vacation mode and something serious comes along, you feel cheated? Maybe you've been on a vacation driving your vehicle, and somewhere along the line your vehicle breaks down. And you had to go to a garage or something like that, and you had to spend a morning while the vehicle is getting fixed. Have you been there? It was a distraction. You say, why didn't it break down while I'm back at home, where I could have had my tools and fixed it myself, or had my mechanic and he could have taken care of it? No, it has to break down here where I'm enjoying myself. Well, see, what I want you to realize was Jericho was the vacation place. Jericho was the place where everybody kind of let their hair down. Now, it has been my opinion that people kind of lose everything when they go to their vacation spot. There are many men out on the beach that I think, no, have you seen what you look like? Cover that up. It's just horrible. It's just, no one should look at that. But it's like, no, I'm on vacation. So put that mindset into this crowd that are coming with Jesus from Jericho and moving out. Obviously, they wanted to be around him. Obviously, they were still wanting things from him. They were all of a sudden distracted. One more thing about this, and that is that places of pleasure, places of beauty, places of fun and enjoyment can often be distractions to us in our spiritual lives. We realize how vulnerable we are when we go off to relax. The enemy never takes a vacation. The enemy is always aware of when and where he can give and place a distraction into our lives to take our minds, to take us off center, to take us off of our spiritual journey. So again, put that into this text, because it says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. A large vacation crowd. Second thing that I see in this passage is a distraction of needs. Now, this one will be harder to get you to admit. Don't raise your hands or honk or anything, but how many of you have been distracted by a need? In other words, you didn't want to think about the need that was before you because you were wanting to concentrate on something else. Maybe it was, let me just give you an instance in our own lives. Back 100 years ago when our children were at home, like 100 years ago, each Christmas, we would go to downtown Indianapolis. And, the circle was all lit up and all of that. I can even remember when they used to have little characters in blocks and airs, windows and stuff like that. And even after those two department stores closed, they used to still have the little mechanical things that were in there. And so we enjoyed taking our kids down there. There was almost always a place where we could get hot chocolate, and we would go walking through there as a family. Invariably, there would always be a beggar. There would always be a homeless person sitting strategically located between us and the hot chocolate, or between us and the little mechanical people. And so here we are with our kids going up there to see the beautiful lights and all of this, and then the beggar would start, some money, some help. Now, I know, just even in bringing this up, I sound cold and indifferent. I have great concern for those who are begging, for those who are in need. But I can tell you, in those moments like that, it comes across as a distraction. Because then the kids want to know, what are we going to give them? And it's not the moment where you can explain, honey, if I give them money, then they're going to take that money and buy smokes or buy alcohol probably, and it could kill them. So I need to be able to feed that money into something or somebody who will help them in the way that they really need to be helped. So again, this need then becomes a distraction. That's what happened right here. These people are marching along with Jesus. They're on their way to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden, a couple of guys, a couple of beggars, start hollering out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy. Is it any wonder that the people said, shh, shh, now be quiet. Those men were a distraction. It says the blind men began to shout. They were not concerned about the peace of the people that were walking along. What they were concerned about was that they would be heard. Luke tells us that one of them was a beggar. Probably both of them were beggars. And so they were holding out their cup or whatever they had, wanting some money from this crowd, as well as to get Jesus' attention. Their call expressed their knowledge of his person. How they knew about Jesus, we're not told. But somehow or another, they knew who he was. Son of David? That was not his normal title. So there was something about what they knew, what they had heard, what they had experienced in their past that gave them a glimpse of Jesus. But what did the crowd do? No, you're a distraction. Be quiet. Shh. Their call expressed a knowledge of his passion. Have mercy on us. They knew that he was a man of mercy. Perhaps he will respond to our need. Express their knowledge of his power. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Affect us. We see everything that's going on. We see that you're passing by, but have mercy on us. We see that there is power in you, that something in you will change our circumstance. Needs can be so distracting. Not just the needs of others, but our own needs. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to focus on other things when your back hurts? Is there anybody here that's ever had a backache? I'm talking about the kind of backache that goes down your leg, goes up into your neck. You even think you have a headache. I mean, it hurts. It'll hurt all the way through your body. It is hard when you have a need, a physical need, to get beyond it. You can even know, I need to pray for other people, but if you have a need that is outstanding in your life, it's very hard. Your prayer just keeps circling back around to your own need. Hello? Anybody? I'm telling you that needs can be distraction. Give you one more distraction. Crowds, other people. Crowd was distracted by these men's need. You know, I've seen and heard right in the church, as people have gotten upset because somebody else's need was being met. You know, we don't all like the same music. We don't all like the same things. So quite often within the church, when you're ministering to one group of people with a particular style or a manner, there's another group of people who are not ministered to all that greatly. It means that we have to look beyond that. We have to learn to worship. It's part of the spiritual maturity that we learn to worship even when our way is not being done. I realized a long time ago, you know, this month is 10 years of ministry here. And I realized a long time ago in ministry that not everybody was going to like me. Can you imagine, Wes? I say that to Larry because, some people like their preaching fast and furious. So fast, so furious, so excited, so exuberant that you can't tell really what's being said. Others want theirs in a teaching mode. Uh-oh. Distractions. You know, in a way, it's hilarious. It really is. All the things that the enemy likes to do to try and take us off of the main thing. The main thing right here is the fact that Jesus heard the cries. Right? With the crowd's distraction, with the need interrupting everything that was going on, Jesus could hear exactly what those men were saying. I love just a couple of words. He stopped. Now, I don't know if you have a picture, if you've got any imagination at all, but you can put a picture in your mind and you think with me about what this scene would look like. They're leaving this beautiful vacation spot. Here's some people that trail along with him, perhaps some who are just going to walk with him a portion of the way before they take this 20-mile journey to Jerusalem. I doubt that all of them were going, so some were going along to just in case he would say something important, and so then they're moving along with him, and all of a sudden these guys start hollering out, two men that they don't even agree with. As a matter of fact, it's probably a certainty that they were put outside of this beautiful town. You know how I know that? Because I live in Bloomington. And whenever anything is happening downtown, they will round up all of the homeless people and all the beggars and everybody, and they will move them out. And they put them out on the outskirts. This isn't a foreign thing. This is real. So here these guys are out on the outskirts. They didn't want to be bothered with these guys. And now their shouts stop Jesus. And Jesus goes over to them and says, "What do you want?" Now why would he need to ask this? Because see, they may have said, "We'd like some alms. We would like some money. Give us something to help us on our journey." Instead, they said, "We're blind and we want to see." And Jesus spit. Jesus touched their eyes. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of finicky about somebody touching my eyes. Up until I started wearing contact lenses, my fingers never went in my eyes. So if anybody started messing around, you know, just get to the eyelashes, it's like, uh-uh. These guys were willing for Jesus to reach out and put his fingers, his thumbs, whatever, onto their eyes and heal them. Point being, sometimes when you have a need, you got to get past the distraction of what it takes, the uncomfortableness of what it takes to be healed. Amen, Wes? Wes has been going through something. If you don't know, he had a bit of an event a few days ago and stopped him in his tracks. Now he's got a series of exercises and all of this that he has to do to try to get back to where he was before. A distraction to his life. But brother, I can tell you, Jesus is passing this way. Hallelujah, church. There is no distraction. It distracts us. It gets our minds off. It causes us confusion and everything. The wind and everything about this is distracting to me. It's so hard for me to be able to minister the gospel in this. And yet, Jesus is passing this way. And here's what I know. If you have a need in your life, Jesus is passing this way. And if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved in your need. If that spiritual darkness that you're walking in, you don't know how to deal with your sins, I can tell you this morning that Jesus knows how to forgive you. He's paid the price for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have a physical need that is outside the realm of the doctors, outside your ability to be able to take care of it, I'm telling you that Jesus is passing this way, and he is willing this morning, if you'll call out to him, he's willing to stop and to minister to the need that you have in your life. Because if he would do it to two beggars on the side of the road outside Jericho, he will do it in the parking lot at Bedford First Assembly in Bedford, Indiana. On Sunday morning, the 17th day of May at 11:35. There's an old song. Let me see if I can scrape it up here. I like the words. I won't kill you with singing it. By Fanny Crosby and Howard Doane, written in 1895. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message we bring you. Jesus is passing this way. Coming in love and in mercy, quickly now unto him go. Open your heart to receive him. Pardon and peace he will know. He'll bestow. Excuse me. Listen, the Spirit is calling. Jesus will freely forgive. Why not this moment accept him? Trust in God's mercy and live. He is so tender and loving. He is so near you today. Open your heart to receive him while he is passing this way. Now maybe you'd recognize the chorus. Jesus is passing this way, today. Jesus is passing this way, today. Look, this is a life lesson right here out of Matthew's gospel, the 20th chapter, that we would realize that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. These men were just a distraction to the people. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and everything about it was a distraction, except to Jesus. He stopped to minister to their need. I believe that he is here today, in spite of all the distractions that we face. And he will hear your cry. I want to invite you, if you're here or if you're watching on the internet right now, just know that Jesus is passing this way. Your need is concern. He is willing, he is ready, and he will stop and hear your cry. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for these few moments that we've had here in this parking lot, and thank you for the opportunity that we have of worshiping and honoring you. I pray, first of all, Lord, that we as believers would recognize the distractions that come into our lives. And they're not all negatives. They're not all bad. Many of them are good things, but they come and take us off of the main thing. We forget that even in moments like this, that you are passing this way. We forget to concentrate upon you, to add our voices into the worship, to add our prayers with the prayers of others. Ah, Lord, help us to recognize the distractions that take us off of the main thing. Then, Lord, I pray for those who are like the beggars. They have need in their life today. It may be a spiritual need. They have sin that they cannot deal with themselves. It may be a physical ailment or situation that they don't know what they're going to do next. I pray that they would take the wisdom, take the action of those beggars and begin to call upon you, because you will stop. You will stop and you will hear their need and you will minister. I still believe you're passing this way. Today, you're ready to minister. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.